right, Craig, thank you. 506 on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton. It is a Wednesday, October 9th, 2019. Just want to take a second here and again thank Cy Tenenberg for coming in. He voted for Trump. He supported Trump. But he's very concerned about what's happening in Turkey. And we just spent the hour talking about that. And if you missed the conversation, Craig will have it posted later on today at 920kvec.com. I would really urge all of you to listen to what Cy Tenenberg had to say about what's happening in Syria and what's at stake. I very much appreciate him taking the time to make that presentation. Tomorrow, in fact, 24 hours from now, State Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham will be here reporting about what's been happening up in Sacramento. We will take your phone calls. On Friday, historian Michael Burrell talks about slavery in this country because I think it's important. Later on, still to come on this broadcast, Dr. Larry Martinez is with us during the 6 o'clock hour. Let's talk about the separation of powers. Let's talk about the 25th Amendment. Some are saying we're headed for a constitutional crisis. We'll hear from Larry. We'll hear from you. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. This hour, October's many things, not the least of which, it's a Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's also a time to focus on important issues related to women's health, which means that once again we are joined by Dr. Eric Colton from First California Physician Partners. He's in studio. Doctor, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Very excited. Just to throw back where I came from, St. Louis, Missouri, it's baseball season, and the Cardinals are right now wrapping up Game 5 against Atlanta Braves. Last checked, it was 13-1, so go Cards.
What do you think is going to happen? What are you predicting for the World Series?
I think, at least from the National League, I think it's going to come down to the Cards and the Washington Nationals. I don't think the Dodgers are going to make it. I think they're going to crack under the pressure.
Just lost half our listeners.
Oh, well, that's all right. Just lost half our listeners. It's historically, is they just... They crack under the pressure. They have that one pitcher, Kershaw. He does great during the year, but...
We're going to change our topic.
You got it.
I say it right here. We're both boys of the Midwest. Do you miss the Midwest?
There's a lot of things I miss about it, yeah. There's that, you know, the local kind of camaraderie and just an ever slight change of difference in politeness. And
are we politer here or there?
It depends. Outside the cars, I think equally. In the cars, I think they're more polite in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's a little scary out there driving and with all the bike riders, and I see no helmets and earbuds and all these kids from Cal Poly racing around in their street. It scares me.
Well, it keeps the hospital busy.
They need the organ donor cards filled out.
Well, how was your day today? What'd you do today?
Today was a busy day. I delivered a couple babies and I was in the operating room. I had about 5 cases in the OR at my wonderful hospital, Sierra Vista. And so it was a good day. Everything went well, knock on wood, and glad to be here.
For people who haven't heard you before on this broadcast, talk a little bit about your background and who you are professionally.
I am a board-certified OBGYN. I actually grew up in Southern California. 1988, I moved to St. Louis, Missouri for my medical training and did my OBGYN training in St. Louis and stuck around my training program in private practice and working very close with a wonderful residency program. And in 2015, my wonderful wife, who is a wonderful, I'll give her a plug, certified hand therapist with Mission Physical Therapy.
A hand therapist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And we decided it was time to get away from the Midwest winters, which we do not miss at all. And that brought us out to the Central Coast.
Well, that's a good enough reason as any.
Absolutely.
All right. So a little bit of the news lately. We had the nurses go out on strike.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear from a doctor's perspective.
Well, it's back in St. Louis. This happened at our hospital that I practiced at for many years, and the nurses went on strike. And it's a fine balance between benefits, pay, and also just the overall workload. Nurses need to be comfortable with the workload and that so they can provide safe care. And I have no doubt during all this transition, we've got wonderful nurses at Sierra Vista. They do a great job. And at times, the ratio of patient to nurses sometimes can be a struggle and that we need to provide a safe outlet. And it all comes down to communication with the hospital and the administrative side and the nurses' side. And they're represented by a union. And some people get frustrated with being union and not non-union, whatever the case may be. But when they went on strike, we had wonderful traveling nurses that came in as well. And just, you know, for our community, there wasn't any concern, from my standpoint as a physician, to tell our community, there was not a single bit of concern with, you know, lack of safety, lack of good care.
But are the nurses right in their... They're not here, obviously, right now, but I recall the argument, doctor, being, well, they're supposed to take their break, but they can't take their break because there's not a replacement nurse to cover for them.
And that becomes part of it. And right. In hearing from some of the chatter, a lot had to do with benefits and where that was and pay. And the breaks were an issue as well.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you need to have that time to regroup and recollect yourself and get a break during the day and so that you can stay fresh during your shift. And a lot of these nurses, they work 12-hour shifts, a lot of them, you know, overnight shifts, and it's not easy work. They're a vital part of what we do every day.
I was telling you my story when you came in because you hadn't seen me in a while. I mean, between being hit by a car and open-heart surgery, I've been on the front, and the year before that, diverticulitis. I've been on the front lines with the nurses now for 2 years, and they're all angels. I don't have a single bad story to tell you.
Well, I'm a little concerned every time I come in here. It's a major medical issue with you.
But don't worry, I'm not going to have a baby.
Good.
I'm not going to have to call you.
Although, we would be able to take this show on the road if you did.
All right. So, that one-day strike, did anything come out of it?
Unfortunately, they're still talking. In talking today in the OR with some of the nurses, no, nothing. There hasn't been any major advancements.
So if a young person were to come to you now and say, doctor, I'm thinking of becoming a nurse, you would you encourage them?
Absolutely. If that's what their drive and their passion is.
Yeah.
Because it truly, it's in any field of medicine, you give of yourself and you sacrifice yourself. You sacrifice time away from your family. You know, for myself, I've missed birthdays of my kids. I've missed sporting events. I've had to cancel things because of various responsibilities that come first, and that just is part of being involved in healthcare. It's a different calling, and if that's what's in your blood, then I would say go for it. And there's a lot of options out there.
We have plenty to discuss with Dr. Eric Colton. We'll come back and pick up the conversation. I want to talk about breast cancer and other issues and news in women's health. And then a little bit later on this hour, we're going to put the spotlight on the upcoming Central Coast Breastfeeding Coalition annual milk drive. A lot of ground to cover this hour. We hope you'll stick around on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Live 17 on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. Thanks for joining us. We are joined this hour by Dr. Eric Colton from First California Physician Partners. We're talking about various aspects of women's health, reminding you that October is a Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Here are the stats that I have, Doctor. About 1 in 8 U.S. women, which is 12%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. In 2019, an estimated 268,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in women just in the U.S., along with another close to 63,000 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer.
Exactly. And it's one of those things that is very personal when you're talking about breast. We relate to it and how it affects a woman's overall femininity. And so from that standpoint, It has drawn a lot of attention. I don't want to take any focus away from breast cancer, but more women actually die every year from cardiovascular disease. But there's an emphasis, and we all know the Komen walk for breast cancer, and I actually, back in St. Louis, was involved with a spinning event called the Judy Ride years ago that we raised money locally for breast cancer. I think the important thing is that most of these women who get diagnosed with breast cancer are actually going to outlive their breast cancer. Something else is going to affect and be their ultimate cause of death.
But does the breast cancer make them more susceptible to these other diseases?
Not necessarily. Okay. Not necessarily. Now, there's a whole other category of women who are much higher risk, and those are those who have hereditary concerns. And the big ones are the BRCA genes. This really became real.
BRCA genes.
Okay. Ashkenazi Jewish heritage. They are a big group that carry that genetic mutation. It really came out in the news not too long ago when Angelina Jolie, she came out. She had tested positive and had very radical surgery. But really for that patient or herself, it isn't so much. It's pretty much the standard of care when someone gets diagnosed with a gene. Right. It hits home for me. I have family with BRCA2, and so we know about it. And back when I was tested, knock on wood, was negative, but the testing was much more difficult. Today, the testing is easy. It's not even a blood test anymore. It's saliva. We can have patients come to our office, meet with one of our nurse practitioners, and get the test. Insurance companies are much more accepting of covering this test. A lot of people years ago were afraid if I tested positive, suddenly I'm going to get dropped from my insurance company. Right. So, and that's just not the case anymore. But those who have the hereditary forms, yes, they for example, if a man has test positive for BRCA2, not only is he at risk for male breast cancer, but his risk for prostate cancer is much higher, and his risk for pancreatic cancer is extremely high over the normal population. So I think it's getting that information out there in the public, for especially for women, that testing is readily available, it's easy, and the cost has come way down because we have multiple companies doing the genetic testing.
What about 3D testing?
3D mammograms, that's the goal. Back in 2011, the FDA approved what are called 3D or three-dimensional mammograms. And the mammogram itself is different than the traditional 2D mammogram. And there are a lot more views in how these images of the breast are taken. And it basically has a higher sensitivity of detecting breast cancer, especially in women who have dense breast tissue. They're at a higher risk. All previous mammograms, the 2D, the scary thing is 1 in 10 mammograms that was read as normal actually has a breast cancer present. It's just not advanced enough to be seen on mammogram. And so that was part of the problem with 2D. I think knowing how well the treatment is, and we've got some great surgeons at Sierra Vista who treat breast cancer all the time, getting that diagnosis early, you're going to outlive your breast cancer. And it's that easily treated these days.
So what's the rule of thumb for having a mammogram? How often?
So
when?
Assuming you are not don't have a genetic predisposition, the general patient female should start at age 40, and every 1 to 2 years from age 40 to 50, and then every year from 50 thereon. Anyone who tests positive for one of the BRCA genes, usually the testing starts at about age 30. So it's easy. They are not, from what I've been told, nearly as painful, especially with the 3D, as the previous two-dimensional. I would have patients tell me it's not so much the mammogram, it's the technician doing the mammogram and squeezing that breast tissue in between the device to take the mammogram was really painful. I think with the 3D, and that's what in our community, we have the 3D mammography available at in our communities.
And is it more expensive?
It is about $60 more expensive.
Okay.
Here's one of the things, the secrets, though, that I will share is if women go to a certain radiographic facilities for their mammograms and they are affiliated with a certain hospital chain, they may actually be paying more because they're going to a facility that has a hospital site of visit and which they have the ability to charge more. The quality of the mammogram is the same. So I would encourage patients to be fiscally responsible as well. Question how much you're being charged for your mammogram. Call up other facilities because everyone does a great job. The radiologists do a great job. The technology is there. But make sure that you're not getting gouged, so to speak.
So you should actually price shop with things like mammograms.
Absolutely.
Dr. Eric Holton on this broadcast. Obviously, I'm the dumb guy in the room. I just assumed that wherever you went, it'd be the same.
Not exactly. Yep. So.
All right. So in terms of breast cancer, beyond the issue of mammograms, I have a feeling that a lot of patients, male and female, aren't aware as they should be about mammograms, how often they should be checked. And they, or they think about, well, this isn't going to happen to me. So they don't worry about it.
I think that's the biggest fear is denial. Yeah. It's if I don't get the mammogram, I don't find the lump, I don't have a problem. And like I said, the key is that a breast cancer will take roughly 7 years to grow before it's detected on mammogram. They typically, especially if they're related.
7 years.
7 years. Hmm. They're typically your most common variety, tend to be responsive to estrogen, and that kind of brings about the fear of women in that age category and going on hormone replacement therapy, which we can certainly delve into and we have previously. But they're slow-growing, not very aggressive cancers. There are some very aggressive, dangerous cancers out there that involve the breast, but the majority of them, if women are getting their mammograms, they're going to get caught at an early stage and very treatable.
And so the bottom line, doctor, we're going to move on to other topics as well. With breast cancer, other issues, it's prevention.
Absolutely.
Prevention, prevention, prevention.
Yep. There are a few other, some other risk factors. One, our Western diet, high-fat diet, diets high in alcohol are risk factors. Lack of exercise. Women, and speaking of with breastfeeding, women who don't breastfeed are at a higher risk of developing breast cancer. So it's
really?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a lot of benefits outside of what you're providing for your newborn, but also a lot of benefits for the breastfeeding mom as well.
Talk more about the dietary concerns, foods they should pursue, foods they should avoid.
You want to avoid high-fat diets. And it's not just, you know, for breast cancer, but other cancers. And more importantly, you know, cardiovascular health. Diets high in fat, you're going to lead to elevated cholesterol, cardiovascular disease. And I've always told patients, you know, you can live without a breast, but you can't live without your heart. And so that is paramount. And not to take anything away from breast cancer, but I have always tried to talk with my patients about heart healthy meal, diet and exercise.
Women are a particular risk for heart attacks. I'm trying to remember the age group, over 50, I think it is.
Correct. Right. And part of the reason is because we don't expect them. They don't present necessarily.
It's a silent heart attack.
Exactly. Okay. They don't present like men do with that chest pain, the feeling like you've got an elephant crushing your chest or the pain shooting up your neck and down your arm.
See, that's how I knew I was in trouble because I felt the pain in my chest.
So it wasn't Elton John's music?
No.
Okay, all right.
No.
Just want to make sure.
Boy, you're offending the Dodgers and Elton John. Hey. No, I felt the pain in my chest, and I knew something was happening. I just didn't know the extent of it. We are in conversation with Dr. Eric Holton. We've got a whole list of things we're talking about as we're talking about the importance of women's health. We are off to California Headline News and ABC Radio News as well. Craig has the very latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together, and I believe he has the next word in our Trump Change giveaway where you have a chance to win $1,000. I'll stick around. We'll welcome your phone calls to the good doctor as well. We're live. We're local. We're Hometown Radio. Still to come on today's edition of Hometown Radio, Dr. Larry Martinez is back with us during the 6 o'clock hour. This hour, we continue our conversation with Dr. Eric Holton from First California Physician Partners. Nice enough to come in and just address issues related specifically to women's health. As we continue with the good doctor, we also want to expand the conversation. And let's bring in Leslie Mahigan. She is with the Central Coast Breastfeeding Coalition. Leslie, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining. Doctor, do you know Leslie?
I don't know if we've actually met before.
All right. Leslie, what is the Breastfeeding Coalition?
So we are a local nonprofit that promotes breastfeeding in the Central Coast. We do a lot of education for professionals, and we have a website and brochures to share all of the local breastfeeding resources with our moms. And we put on events every year, and I'm calling in to share some information about our annual donor breast milk drive that we're having this weekend at Sierra Vista.
Before you get there, what's the website for the coalition, please?
CentralCoastBreastfeeding.com.
And Dr. Colt, do you have the postcard?
Yes. I don't know if it was you, Leslie, but we have in our office on the campus of Sierra Vista, we have your postcards here with the little butterfly baby, as I refer to it, and with the event at Sierra Vista in the hospital auditorium.
Yeah. So yes. What's happening this weekend, Leslie?
So this weekend, this Saturday, October 12th, from 10 to 3 p.m. at the auditorium at Sierra Vista, this is our fifth annual donor breast milk drive in support of the San Jose Mother's Milk Bank. They will be here, and so mothers who have excess breast milk and would like to donate it can bring in frozen breast milk and or be donors in the future. They are going to have a health screening, and then we'll have their blood drawn. And if they get approved to be donors, their milk will be pasteurized and sold at cost to NICUs around the western United States. And Sierra Vista, Marion Hospital in Santa Maria, and Cottage, all three NICUs use the donor breast milk from the San Jose Mother's Milk Bank.
So there is a local angle here.
Yes, absolutely. We cannot guarantee that a particular Central Coast mom's breast milk will come locally because it all gets together and pooled. But yes, it has benefited hundreds of babies within our community.
Dr. Weigh in on this, the importance of a milk drive like this.
Well, I think it's incredible. As I've been doing this for 28 years as an OBGYN, and a simple saying that I've heard years ago, breast is best. And so it benefits, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation, of just a very easy way for a mom to decrease her risk of breast cancer. It is the easiest food supply for a baby to utilize. It gives the baby all the nutrients that it needs to grow. And I guess I've been doing this long enough. When you see babies who are breastfed versus those who are bottle fed, they all just look like that chubby little baby who's got rubber bands all over their arms. They just look like that healthy, chubby baby, and you know they've been breastfed.
Yeah. Leslie, is it challenging to get mothers to donate like this?
You know, I was told by the director of the milk bank that for such a small community, we have so much breast milk here. Huh. And so we really do a great job. In the past, we usually get about 1,500 ounces donated at that one time. So some mothers, you know, for whatever reason, have a freezer full of milk, so they can bring that, and or they can say, I want to continue to donate into the future. And the milk bank will ship you a cooler and the bags. You fill it up, and they will pay to have it overnight and shipped back up to them. So it is a lot of work for mothers to pump all of their milk, but the milk bank tries to make it as easy as possible.
All right. And all this information is on your website?
Yes, it is.
Repeat that website again then, please, Leslie.
CentralCoastBreastfeeding.com.
But everything's going down this Saturday.
This Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Sierra Vista Auditorium.
Just bring your milk in there. Right?
Yeah, bring your milk if you have older children. Yeah. We're going to have a whole kids area. We're going to have food. You can dress up in your Halloween costume. It's going to be lots of fun.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Dress up in costume.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Leslie, anything else we can help you with?
No, that's it. Just bring all your extra breast milk down.
All right. Fair enough. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us, and keep up the good work. Leslie checking in from the Central Coast Breastfeeding Coalition. It's her annual milk drive. Get out and support that, please. Dr. Eric Colton on this broadcast. All right, here we go, doctor. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener writes, there is beneficial essential fatty acids, including extra virgin olive oil, coconut oil, hemp seed, and chia seed oil. Those should not be rolled together with or confused with the very unhealthy hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated oils and fats.
I definitely agree with that. I think there's controversy about coconut oil, though. I've read a lot about ingesting it, and
I've heard the same thing about coconut oil.
I would try and stay away from anything ingesting coconut oil. But your healthy fats, your almonds, walnuts, you're going to get healthy fats. Avocados. Oh my God, I love avocados. That's one of the things that I miss being in the living in the Midwest is you couldn't get a decent avocado most of the time. It either was a baseball.
Yeah, you could for like $5.
Yeah, it was either a baseball or it came with guacamole already inside. So I love the avocados out here. So, and that's a great fat source, a healthy fat source. So I definitely agree with that, the person who wrote in.
Put a plug in for FCPP. You've added some staff members, you got services. Go ahead and talk about it for a minute.
Absolutely. Our practice is located at 35 Casa Street on the campus of Sierra Vista.
Right next to the parking structure.
Right next to the parking structure, right where that wonderful helicopter lands. And we are a group now of 5 OBGYNs. We just added two more, Dr. Pio and Dr. Halusik, along with myself and Dr. Lapopolo and Dr. Sungerloo. We also have nurse practitioners and we have a midwife. So we have been growing incredibly fast as far as for a group here. We all have different personalities and offer a wide range of services. I enjoy the obstetrics, but I also have a deep passion for overall women's health and menopause and the surgical aspects of gynecology. I know we're taking new patients. I am always taking new patients. Just to put a plug in, I have occasionally Tuesday evening office hours.
Wait, stop. Tuesday evening?
Yes. Tuesday evening. All right. Women work.
Yeah.
And I just the idea of having some time where a woman can, if she's working, gets off work, she doesn't have to take paid time off to go sit in a doctor's office or her vacation day to get medical stuff done. So it's just always been a part of me since I started practicing to have a few hours every so often where women can come in after 5 o'clock and get in without having to take away from their own personal time.
I'm not sure how to ask it. How many years have you been a doctor now?
I've been practicing now for just 24 years.
So have you redefined yourself in terms of what it takes to be a doctor? Your approach, working on a Tuesday night, whatever? Has it changed for you?
No.
Or is it pretty much you came out of medical school and this is the way you've been doing it?
I came out after my training. I trained at a very large institution, and we had probably routinely 50 different OBGYNs that were coming to our hospital on a regular basis. And there was a handful of them that were my mentors, and I wanted to practice like them. And they offered up evening office hours. They're very personable. They would sit down and talk with the patients and share more of a one-on-one connection. It wasn't, I'm the doctor, you're the patient, I do the talking, you answer the questions when I ask you a question. Yeah. It's not how I practice. I mean, there was a movie with Alec Baldwin where he played a physician and he was in some trial and said, I am God. And I'm like, oh my God, that has never been my approach. I try and have fun. I try and enjoy myself. My patients, my staff know in my office, I have music. I tend to be a closet rock and roller. So I have music playing in my office all the time, and occasionally I have to turn it down a little bit. Right now I'm listening to the baseball playoffs. Yeah. So go Cardinals. Aside from that, I enjoy the relationships.
Is it hard to get doctors to come here?
Yes, it is. It is.
Because of the rural designation?
I think it's not so much a rural designation. I think it's, unfortunately, it is a very expensive place to live. That's just the reality.
But you guys are doctors. Come on.
It's not quite what it was years ago. When I looked at my mentors as one of my mentors once said, don't let anyone give you a hard time for making the money that you make, because you'll get up in the middle of the night, you'll lose time with your family, it'll wear on your health. So do what you need to do and to support your family and your livelihood. But aside from that, it's what I gravitated to. I actually thought I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, but I realized I like to talk too much. And patients at a major trauma center with, brain injuries and stuff, they don't talk too much. That's just the reality. I thank God we have wonderful neurosurgeons here. and that
Phil Kissel.
Yes, yes.
This is my definition of a small town.
Yep.
The day of my accident, supposedly I was walking across the street, and I was hit by the car. I have no memory of any of that. All I know is I parked my car, I walked down the stairs, and the next thing I know, I'm waking up, and Phil Kissel is looking down at me. And that's when I realized that something had happened to me. Because I was like, what am I? It's Phil Kissel. He's a brain guy.
Yeah. I've had a chance to be on a committee with him, and I've gotten to know him in the short time that I've been here. Been here now in this practice. We're coming up on 2.5 years. And I think it's great. I love what I'm doing. I love the people I work with.
He's an amazing guy.
He is. Yeah. He is.
All right. Yeah. We are in a conversation with Dr. Eric Colton from First California Physician Partners, just checking in on what's happening with women's health. Welcome back for a final segment. First, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio is sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria, always online at spencersfreshmarkets.com. Here are some reasons to check out Spencer's tonight. On sale, fresh, boneless, skinless chicken breasts, $1.59 a pound. Spencer's Own Baja Filets, $5.99 a pound. On special this week, cheddar jalapeno sausage, $4.99 a pound. Now, that would go good with a baseball game. Swordfish steaks, $8.99 a pound. Wild Alaskan halibut fillets, $17.99 a pound. Don't forget, also on sale this week at Spencer's, Red Globe grapes, 2 pounds for $3. Locally grown avocados, 2 for $3. Organic local pumpkins, they're organic, and they're only $2.99. And you can also head to Spencer's for the apple sale, all sorts of apples, 99 cents a pound. All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Spencer's Fresh Markets, always worth the drive. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor, The Dave Congleton Show. Top of the Arts, ABC Radio News, and we'll be joined by Dr. Larry Martinez. That's Craig Hill. That's quite a challenge. Oh, if you heard that spot, the guy saying, if it's important to you, it's on the Dave Congleton Show.
It
means
true, isn't it?
Anything. Anything. If it's important, we've got to cover it on this show.
Yeah. That's the word on the street.
That's a challenge.
Now you got to live up to it.
I don't know. I'll let you and Mark handle that. You guys handle the important stuff. We are in a final segment with Dr. Eric Colton. I have been meaning to exclude your calls. Sorry, we've just been chatting. If you want to join us, please do. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We invite your phone calls for the doctor. If you have a question about women's health or health care in general, that would be fine. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Another text message coming in on the Stolberg Law KVC text line, doctor, hearkening back to the conversation we had early in the hour about nurses. Listener writes, the opportunity to become a doctor or nurse is deliberately restricted to create high demand and high wages.
I'm going to disagree with that. Unfortunately, you know, going back a while when the Affordable Health Care Act came into play, one of the things that was very disappointing as a physician that it didn't look into is how are we going to help subsidize the cost of becoming a physician, the cost of becoming a nurse. I know right now the cost to go to occupational therapy, to become an occupational therapist, that is going to cost $40,000 to $50,000 a year. It's approaching as much as medical school. Incredible thing at New York University School of Medicine. Med school is free there, tuition free.
I saw that story. I think it was on 60 Minutes.
Yes.
That one guy donated.
The CEO of Home Depot donated enough money and raised enough money that tuition for medical school at NYU is in perpetuity free for these students. They still have to pay their living expenses and stuff like that. But I think that was part of what happened with the Health Affordable Care Act is there was nothing in that bill that helped subsidize training physicians. You suddenly have patients inundating the healthcare industry, but people were driving away from going into the profession because you're coming out in your late 20s, early 30s, and $200,000, $300,000 in debt. You can't pay that off. And the idea of owning a home and starting your own business as a physician, let alone in any healthcare profession, the cost to be trained to be in healthcare as a professional is out of control.
My nephew is a dentist, raised in Southern California. He went to dental school at Creighton, and he accumulated that kind of debt. He ended up going up to Vermont because there was a federal program that if you went to areas where there weren't a lot of dentists, they would help pay off your debt. 20 years later, he's still there because he fell in love with Vermont.
Yes.
But just because of that one program changed his life.
When you look into where people are trying to recruit physicians, at least from that standpoint that I'm aware of, a lot of facilities will, in terms of their benefit package, will help you pay off your loans, or part of your signing bonus, they'll pay off student loans. But I think that's what's driven drop in physicians. And it's only going to get worse. There's going to be a tremendous physician shortage. I know back in my home state of Missouri, they allowed physicians right out of medical school. You can go to a rural place in Missouri, set up your shingle as a physician, as long as you had a mentorship set up with a board certified physician to oversee your practice for a couple of years to, you know, have that attachment there, because you couldn't get physicians to go to some of these parts to practice. It wasn't financially feasible. It didn't provide a lifestyle that physicians wanted. So the more rural areas are having to come up with programs.
Are Americans having fewer children?
I think right now we are. I think the birth rate is going down, which is a little bit of a concern because, you know, these babies today are going to grow up and contribute and put into a lot of the government programs that, as their parents get older, are going to rely upon. Social Security, is that? I don't even know if that, how long that's going to be around.
Need another 30 years.
Yeah. 30 more years, as long as it's, no, I don't, it's, so yeah, it's going to be, have a significant impact.
And then what about the younger people coming along? Do they have the desire to be parents that these other generations have had?
I don't think so. I think they're putting off having children. They want to do their own thing. They want to, you know, they're much more in tune to a lot more research and information because of grown up. The 20-year-olds have grown up in the internet age. Everything is available to them on their little pocket computer that we all carry. In fact, I just read a story that the average person between 20 and 30 years of age spends 7 hours a day on their computer phone.
7 hours a day.
In a 24-hour period, cumulatively, they will spend 7 hours a day on their phone. And which, it's mind-blowing. You know, I'm guilty of it too sometimes, checking up.
Yeah, but doctor, 7 hours?
Yeah, no, not 7 hours. Yeah, and so it's a different mindset. But, you know, at some point, you know, the studies have shown people who are married tend to live longer, tend to be healthier. So hopefully that brings people together and, you know, they decide to procreate and we have more babies and keeps my profession going.
Keeps you in business.
Absolutely.
What's new in your field on the horizon? What's coming up? Anything exciting?
Well, I think not so exciting that's new, but going back to old, we over the last decade, we've had all this controversy with mesh. This foreign material that was used to help do pelvic reconstructive surgery, something that is near and dear to me, which I really tend to focus a lot of my practice on. And the FDA not too long ago basically said it's no longer to be used, no longer to be produced. And it's not the same type of mesh that is used for urinary incontinence that urologists and some gynecologists will do. But it's the mesh that was being used in what we would refer to as vaginal reconstructive surgery. And there were just too many complications with it. Most people in the industry are very familiar with the lawsuits that came about.
How about the mesh that's used in hernias?
Well, that is what really provided the development of mesh, because in the pelvic reconstruction, the principle is similar to like a hernia, but the mesh in the hernia doesn't go through a lot of the same changes as it does in the reproductive tract in a woman as she ages and goes through menopause. Interestingly enough, around the country, there's some research looking at developing biological mesh. So it will eventually act like normal tissue. And that is potentially promising, but we'll see.
I got a minute left. Talk about the Cardinals.
Well, I think we
have...
You
really think they're going to go?
I think we have a chance. We're coming off a great run towards the end of the season, and you know, we just seemed to pull it off at the very end. And at last I checked, it was 13-1, and I'm pretty sure we won Game 5 against the Braves. So we'll sit around and wait and see. If it's the Dodgers, then they'll be coming out here for the Dodgers will have home field advantage. If it's Washington, home field advantage in St. Louis.
I wasn't aware that the Washington Nationals had a good team. I got to pay more attention to sports.
Yeah, well, they lost their all-time player, Bryce Harper, and look where they're at. They're in the playoffs.
All right, Dr. Eric Holton, we always appreciate your time. What's the website that people can find you?
FCPP.com. Office phone number, 805-595-1808.
Accepting new patients?
All the time.
Optimistic about healthcare and baseball. What else could be better? Final thoughts, sir.
Get out there and laugh. Have some fun. Try not to let the stress every day get to you. Exercise as well. Huge benefit. And eat healthy, please.
Craig, what's the final score?
13-1. So they're advancing. They squeaked one out, except for they haven't scored for the last six innings. Yeah. So
it's kind of close.
They're falling into a slump, I think.
I don't know. It was apparently a record 10 runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
That's how they opened it up?
Yeah. Wow. And right now it's 2-0. If you, spoiler alert, 2-0 Dodgers. That game's just starting.
All right. And we're just starting. We got the 6 o'clock hour to go with Larry Martinez. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio.